Good evening, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because, of course, we have with us one of my very, very special guests. Her name is Joyce Riley. Hi, Joyce. How you doing?
Hi there, Dr. Stan. Doing fine. Thank you, sir.
Well, of course, Joyce has her own radio program, and we're lucky to get her to come on here. She's with the Gulf War Veterans Association, and, of course, she has really began being very, very concerned about the Gulf War veterans. Over 200,000 of the men we sent to the Gulf War, about the 700,000 we sent over, are sick. Now, the figure may be much higher than that. The government is not being forthright as to why they're ill. In fact, they're doing everything they can to try to convince us they really are, must be psychologically victims of a chronic stress disorder or something. They know that's not true. What are the accurate figures? What's your best guess as to how many of the Gulf War veterans are really ill today?
Well, Dr. Stan, I think that we could pretty well show without a lot of difficulty that about 400,000 of the Gulf War veterans are now sick. And we're talking about 400,000 out of 700,000.
All right. Of course, the government says it's only about 170,000, but then the government has lied for ever since the Gulf War about their exposure to poison gas. And first, none of them were exposed to poison gas. Well, a handful were. Well, maybe it was 1,000. Maybe it was 2,000, but no more than that. Maybe it was 5,000, 50,000, 100,000. I think the latest figure, 130,000. Now they will admit we're exposed to poison gas, but of course they will never go back and said we lied initially, and the commanders over there lied. Everything was done to keep the American people from knowing the truth, and if they would lie about that, what else would they lie about?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we've got about now somewhere around 36% of the Gulf War veterans are now sick, and between those that have been declared disabled and those that are asking for disability, we're talking about 36%. This is an incredible figure given the fact that during the Vietnam War, we only had 9% of the troops that are on disability. After a 12-year war, we had 9% of the troops disabled. With a 100-hour war, we've now got 36% of the troops disabled.
Do we have any idea how many have died of these young, healthy men who went to the Gulf to fight for American freedom have died since they came home?
Well,
I know the government's not being forthright, but I'm sure you have some idea what the figures might be.
Well, we've asked, of course, for the SGLI, the Servicemen's Group Life Insurance Information. They've not provided that. We've asked for figures of those that have died. And you see, when they do give a figure, and they normally give a figure of around 9 to 12,000, that figure does not include the reservists. It only includes those that are still on active duty that they are tracking, because they are not tracking the Guard and reservists now. So we feel that it's between 30 and 40,000 people, according to Dr. Garth Nicholson, that have died subsequent to this war.
All right, we're going to have to interrupt you here. We're going to have to go to a break. And when we get back, of course, we're going to explore all sorts of fascinating things during this hour. And, of course, we hope that you'll realize that I love our country. But unfortunately, there's some wicked people who've taken over the reins of power and are concealing the truth from the American people. And there's no way we can be free when, of course, we're not learning the truth. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. With us today is Joyce Riley up from the Gulf War Veterans Association. And, of course, we're talking about the Gulf War, and we're going to be talking about a lot of other things, but right now we were talking about the number of people, number of veterans that are ill. The government will admit 170,000 of the 700,000 men we sent are ill. Joyce feels the figure is closer to 400,000. At least well over 36% of the people are ill, and a significant number of them have died. Now, why would young, healthy people die? Unless, of course, something happened to them. Now the government has admitted there's seems to be a relationship between the Gulf War illness and, anterior lateral sclerosis.
Yes, we're seeing a huge number of people that have ALS disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, especially a lot of the pilots, surprisingly enough, that were not even on the ground. The F-16 pilots are now coming down with ALS in a proportion that would be way too great. You would never see that high a number of people in that age group that would come down with that disease. And the same with multiple sclerosis. There are far too many young men who were 19 years of age who went to the Persian Gulf War that now have MS. You just don't see MS in that group of young males. Now, I learned something yesterday that is absolutely startling to me. I was talking with the wife of a deceased Gulf War veteran from Canada, and she is fighting very, very strongly. She is a whistleblower in Canada. They have made her life absolutely miserable, and she says, I don't care. There's too many lives at stake. And she told me the figure out of Canada, which just absolutely blew my mind.
Now, these were the Canadian soldiers who went overseas to fight for freedom, of course.
That's correct, that were fighting alongside in the coalition forces in the Gulf War. And she told me that there were a total of 5,000 troops that were sent over from Canada. Now, of course, the United States sent 700,000. The UK sent about 50,000. And Canada sent 5,000. Out of those 5,000, Dr. Stan, she told me that between 2,000 and 2,500 are either sick or have died.
So that's about half the number of men. And the fact that you're not hearing this out across America, ladies and gentlemen, is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. And so we're going to be back with you in just a moment here with Joyce Riley and begin to explore the things that you're not going to get. The news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course Joyce Riley is beginning to talk about what we know about the Gulf War illness, and certainly it did not just simply affect the American troops, it affected the British troops, but the figure that she was just quoting, it sounds like almost half of the young men who went overseas to fight for freedom from Canada, now almost half of them are either ill or a significant number died. Does she have any idea how many of them are actually have passed away? Joyce, are you there? Well, I think we may have
yes,
lost.
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Sorry. Okay, you had me frightened.
No, I'm here. I apologize.
All right, fine. No, that's all right. Do we have any idea how many have passed away up in Canada?
Well, no, I don't. I don't. But the figure, though, given the fact that we're talking about a figure of 2,500 between the Gulf War veterans that have died and are sick, that's a 50% mortality and morbidity rate. That is incredible. That is unconscionable that we are even accepting that figure. This is the death of this gentleman was from depleted uranium, by the way. I mean, it was ruled depleted uranium.
All right, of course, everything is being done, lying again, like they did with Agent Orange. And they said, Agent Orange doesn't hurt anybody. This is all hysteria. There's nothing to it. Now, of course, almost 25 years after our boys returned, 26, 27 years, they said, yes, Agent Orange really does produce a number of serious illnesses and genetic problems. And they're saying the same thing with the depleted uranium, and yet there's so much evidence of that once it becomes a dust and gets into the system, it becomes so fine it's inhaled into the system. Is that how it works, and does it get into the bones? What actually happens with the depleted uranium?
Well, depleted uranium is a very hardened, dense metal, and it is refined from the weapons industry. They take the uranium and they put it into tanks, the covering of the M1A1 main battle tank, into shells, and then it's used as basically a tank buster, they call it, because it goes through a tank like butter. I mean, they wanted to be able to have this very dense metal that would pierce the Iraqi tanks. And in doing so, it was very effective. It is effective. There's no question about it. But the problem is that it leaves a very fine, very small particle dust, like 0.02 microns, and when that is inhaled into the lungs, it never gets out again. And so as a result, these individuals now have lungs that look like 80-year-olds when they're 25, 30 years old. Now, the problem is that the Gulf War veterans were attempting to get various types of souvenirs during the Gulf War. And so after they would strike a tank, they would go get in the tank and they would look around and see what they could get. Now, it turns out that something like 80% of the Gulf War veterans admitted that they had actually been inside one of those tanks, which means that they were potentially a victim of depleted uranium. And we're looking at now not only the radiation disease of it getting into the bones, and we've actually had one Gulf War veteran from the UK that had bone marrow tests done and showed not only depleted uranium, but weapons-grade uranium inside his bones. And, of course, it doesn't leave the bones, and it makes them very ill. The radiation poisoning is now being tested for in the UK. However, the United States still will not test for radiation poisoning or do body scans on these Gulf War veterans.
Well, because they'd have to finance all of them, and they certainly don't want to have to pay these boys that have been poisoned over there. And I understand, I've talked to Dr. Garth Nicholson, as I know you have, and he tells me there's tremendous illness among the people in Kuwait, a significant part of the population there, because of the depleted uranium out there in the desert. There are parts of it they don't even want to go into anymore. So many people have become ill. Have you heard that?
Well, absolutely. And in fact, if you go to thepowerhour.com, there's some pictures up there of what we believe to be the deformities caused by depleted uranium. Now, it's very gruesome. It's very difficult to look at. We put them up, though, yesterday because we finally decided it is time for the people to see what is happening, not only in the Gulf War as a result of the Gulf War, but it was also used in Bosnia. We also understand it's being used in Afghanistan. And, of course, going back into Iraq now, we're going to be submitting our troops again to that same exposure.
But, of course, also the civilians there as well.
Oh, yes, the civilians. In fact, I have now learned that there is a 400% increase in cancer rate in Iraq, and there is a 700% increase in deformities. And this is a striking figure when you consider that they have never had any cancer rates anywhere near what they now have as a result of what is in the sand. The sad part is the half-life of depleted uranium is about 4.5 billion years. So it's going to be around for forever. I mean, we are now messing in our own nest. We've destroyed Bosnia, we've destroyed Afghanistan, and we're destroying now, or we have destroyed Iraq, and we're going to go back and submit our troops to the same thing. And I just think it is absolutely unconscionable. Now, the other thing that we've now learned, and of course, you know, the government says, well, we've got gas masks and we've got these wonderful suits that will help them. But unfortunately, they only function as placebos. They only function to make people feel better because the majority of them can't use it in the job that they're doing. You can't drive a tank with one on. You cannot shoot a gun with one on. And so you're left to be exposed, and they end up just taking it off anyway. And you can't eat with one on, so you have to take it off. You have to eventually really contaminate yourself. Now, the government has 250,000 of these chemical suits that's still in inventory that were ruled defective. In 1989, the company called Isrotex made the Gulf War suits, chemical suits, that were later found to be defective with holes, tears, etc. in the seams. But the Department of Defense never really brought that to the attention of the Gulf War veterans, nor did they make it public to the media. And as a result of that, these Gulf War veterans were not only exposed at the blasting of this stuff at places like Camisea when they tried to destroy those weapons, leftover weapons.
For our listeners out there, they don't know that we found this this storage area for the Iraqi weapons. And so rather than, of course, take them and bury them or do something with them, we figured we'd do something really smart. We'd blow them up. All these chemical weapons of Saddam Hussein's. So we blew up the chemical weapons, and what happened? Why, we suddenly put all these poison gases in the air, but we can't let the American people know that. They'd lose confidence in our military leaders. And well, so they lied about it, including General Schwarzkopf lied about that.
That's right. That's exactly right. And if you go to GulfWarVets.com, we have his testimony on the website where you can actually go there and see and hear what Schwarzkopf said during his testimony.
Now, this is the testimony before the congressional committees?
That's correct, before a Senate committee,
all
yes,
right,
sir,
fine.
Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. Now, we talked to the engineer that was in charge of the 37th Engineer Battalion. Now, he was tasked, or they were tasked, with detonating Camisea. This was a big, huge, large bunker complex area. There's about 100 bunkers, each one the size of a Walmart. It took them over a week to set this up for detonation. When they went there, they were interviewing, they were videotaping the inside of these bunker complexes to see what was there. And they did some videotapes, which we were able to get access to, and we were able to utilize in our video and show what was inside those bunker complexes.
And weren't a lot of those weapons actually American weapons? Or some
That's
of them
correct.
Were made
That's
American.
Correct.
So they couldn't just take them out of there, because, of course, the American people would find out we had been supplying Saddam Hussein with all sorts of illegal weapons, and we couldn't let the American people know that, so they came up with this brilliant idea. We'll just blow them up.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because General Schwarzkopf said during his testimony, he said, General Franks came to me. Now, remember, General Franks is now the commander of CENTCOM, who's going back over to Iraq and do this job. He said, General Franks came to me. Well, first of all, let me set the stage. During the testimony, Schwarzkopf was not sworn in. Secondly,
why wouldn't they swore him in? Ordinarily, you're sworn in, so you'll tell the truth.
That's right, but you're not held liable for this legally unless you are sworn in.
So they didn't bother to swear him in, so he could say whatever he wanted to. And then, of course, when it came out later that none of it was true, why he could not be held responsible.
That's correct. Schwarzkopf and Powell were the only two that were not sworn in. So during the hearing, I believe it was Senator Specter that asked him, what about Camisea? General Schwarzkopf said, I didn't know anything about Camisea. I don't know anything about Camisea. And that testimony is at GulfWarVets.com. Then later in his testimony, they asked him about this bunker complex, and he said, oh, yes, General Franks came to me, and he said we needed to retrograde it. And I told him we couldn't retrograde it, which means make it safe, evidently, and take it out of there. He said, I told General Franks we couldn't retrograde it, that we just have to take care of it there in place. And he said that, I believe, was Camisea. Now, see, he totally contradicted his testimony earlier. Now, the interesting thing also is that the Department of Defense denied these chemicals and biologicals, which, by the way, in the video you can actually see weapons made in the USA.
And they're in the Iraqi bunker, of course.
That's
because
correct.
We had been giving Saddam Hussein chemical and biological weapons. But you see, we can't let the American people know that. Then they might ask, well, why did we leave him in power after the Gulf War? And why in 1993 and 1995, at least according to the book, See No Evil by Robert Baer, the CIA station chief in northern Iraq, why in 93 and 95 did we block the Iraqi military's effort to overthrow Saddam Hussein? Is everything today simply sort of a script that they have been planning this war for a long time?
I don't think there's any question, sir. I think that this is basically a method of pulling in the noose whenever they need it, pulling in the leash, and doing whatever they need to do. And there's a whole lot more to this story.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here. And when we get back, of course, we'll explore it more. But our guest today is Joyce Riley. And you want to go to their website, GulfWarVets.com. That's GulfWarVets.com. It's got all sorts of fascinating material. You need to find out if this is true or not. If it's not true, ignore it. If it is true, what are you going to do? Because remember, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. What are you doing for freedom and for our men today?
perspective will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning system. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure Allicin garlic extract. You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we carry another product which we think is great. In fact, we get it from Joyce Riley. It's called the Miracle 2 soap products. Now, we can't make any medical claims for this, but I will tell you that many of the people who use the products make wonderful claims. They tell us some amazing, amazing stories, and we're really pleased that we can have this available for people. There is a soap. There is a moisturizing soap, there's a neutralizer, and some people say it helps their heartburn. I know my wife takes it for that. And then, of course, there's a lotion and there's a gel. And each one of these has many, many, many uses. We wouldn't be without them. In fact, I use the gel to keep my hair in place, what little there is at the present time. But if you'd like to get an introductory introductory samples of this or introductory offer, call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. We've certainly been very, very pleased with them. I think you will be as well. Again, the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, the product Miracle 2 soap products. Call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're talking with Joyce Riley today, and we're talking about the tragedy of what happened during the initial Gulf War. And, of course, will we see similar things? Will our military officers lie to the public and lie to the congressional committees again as they did immediately after the first Gulf War? But, you see, this is what happens when a country loses its moral foundation. When we take God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools and God out of our government and God out of our institutions where we train our military officers. And when there are no longer the restraints of God in a society, should we be surprised at all when we find people in government consistently lying to the public and lying to our elected representatives? So why don't you quickly pick up there, Joyce? Well, let's go to Herman, who's calling in from Carmel, long distance. Herman, did you have a question or comment?
Well, two quick things. By the way, the Miracle 2 soap products are great. We use it in our care home for the elderly, and the gel is really great for skin rashes and to protect the skin. So I want to encourage people on that. Also, I want to ask Dr. Riley,
Joyce Riley.
Oh, Joyce. Okay. What is this going to do to the morale of our soldiers if we have a repeat of the Gulf War problems?
Well, I think what you're seeing right now is I was contacted by CNN the other day regarding the story of them having their sperm frozen prior to going over there. They know the risk, or they know some of the risk that's going to be involved. And they want to be able to have children when they come back, and they're going to the extreme of having their sperm put into a sperm bank, which I think is absolutely unbelievable that we would ever have to be facing this idea. But this is it is bothering a lot of them. But here's the situation. 95% of the people that served in Desert Storm are now out of the military. We've only got 5% in there that even know what happened during the Gulf War.
In other words, most of the people who served in the Gulf War now have just had to get out of the military because they were ill, or got out because they didn't want to stay in and didn't want to be called into another battle where we fight against the wicked Saddam Hussein, and then we leave them in power afterwards. That's so incredible.
And so I do think it is affecting their morale, but I think more so is troops are finally realizing that the government is not going to be there for them, because you've already heard the story that two of the military people have gotten very sick as a result of taking the smallpox vaccine. Six have died, we know of, and there's hundreds that are sick as a result of taking the anthrax vaccine. Everybody's heard about Gulf War illness. You see, if they knew the truth about the face masks and the gas masks, we just got a report from a mother the other day. She has two children in the military, one in Florida and one at Fort Hood. And lo and behold, neither one of their gas masks fit. And they were told that, yes, they knew they were defective, and they said that they had to go anyway. Unfortunately, they were just going to have to be shipped out with a defective gas mask. I mean, that's just putting them into a position of being slaughtered.
Okay, anything else, Herman?
What are the chances, since Saddam Hussein knows that this time he's the target, that he will go out in a blaze of glory and set off or detonate his own weapons?
All right, that's a very legitimate question. Do you have any thoughts on that, Joyce?
Well, I don't know what he has and what he doesn't have, but I don't think he's going to have any sympathy on the United States at this point whatsoever. And I think that we have been told already by the Department of Defense, in fact, that they're planning on mass burials in Iraq of these troops. They're not even going to bring them back here. In fact, CNN today said that they're going to cremate anybody who's exposed to anthrax or smallpox, and they're just going to leave them in a mass burial grave. Now, if that is not motivation, if that's not going to affect the esprit de corps of these troops, I don't know what is.
All right, and I would just suggest, Herman, that there's an article in Foreign Affairs Magazine, January, February, Foreign Affairs Magazine, and for those people out there listening audience, Foreign Affairs is published by our invisible government, the people who control both of our political parties. The article is entitled Suicide and Fear of Death. It's written by Richard K. Betts, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a senior adjutant fellow at the CFR, and a think tank at Columbia, and he talks about just what you're talking about. If Saddam Hussein's back is pushed to the wall, if we think he might attack us sometime in the future if he had weapons of mass destruction, knowing full well we would retaliate and simply wipe out Iraq, why would we think that if we attack him today and force his back to the wall and go after the jugular, he's not going to attack Israel and the United States if he possibly can? And believe me, he has terrorists here. Our southern border is totally open. We're not doing anything we can possible to stop the terrorists from coming into this country. We're facing some difficult times. Thanks so much for calling, Herman.
You're welcome.
And so we're going to have to take a quick break here. And then we'll be right back with our special guest, Joyce Riley. And, of course, we'll talk about these issues. And we'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
we have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course I want to mention that we carry the Phonopoly. If you have children or grandchildren in a government school, most children are not being taught to read properly. They're being taught by something called the look-see method, designed to damage their brains and keep them from functioning correctly, which is why so many of our young children will have difficulty reading today. Phonopoly is a board game. It's played like Monopoly. And if a child actually plays Phonopoly, why, they will learn within 16 hours to reprogram their brain so they'll be able to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. Most of the programs for learning phonics are $300 or $400. This is $139.95, and we include two books that will explain to you about the diabolical people working within the educational industry and the National Educational Association intent upon dumbing down our children. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask about Phonopoly. And then, of course, we have something called the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. It's basically based on the computer. There's 22 CDs, discs there, and there's a program that will take your children all the way from grammar school to high school graduation, designed by Dr. Art Robinson, a personal friend of mine. And I will tell you that when his two eldest sons graduated from high school using this program, they went into the third year of college. They were so far ahead of the rest of the children educated at government schools. If you'd like to know more about the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Get your children out of the government schools. Give them a chance in life. Get the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon, of course, is Joyce Riley, GulfWarVets.com. You'll want to go to our website. It's one of the finest ones up there. On the website, you can actually see the copy of the patent there from the federal government that actually, where they patented the mycoplasm that is found in every AIDS case. Gee, why would we patent a genetically engineered mycoplasm found in everybody with AIDS, at least according to Dr. Lowe, who has the patent? That's a strange question, but we won't get into that question right now, unless, of course, that the AIDS is not accidental. Do you have anything right now? Let's go to Paul, who's calling in from Salinas. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, Dr. Stan. Hey, I had a question for you. I've been listening to your program off and on, just regarding, like Osama bin Laden, Manuel Noriega, and I guess Saddam Hussein. I guess that one time they were all on the payroll for our government.
Well, we know that Osama bin Laden was working with the CIA in the 1980s. And if you read the book Dollars for Terror, written in 1999 by a Swiss journalist, he will tell you that, of course, the whole Islamic terrorist movement is funded by the Saudis, our good friends, the ISI, the Pakistani intelligence, our good friends, and by the American CIA. And there's no question that we created and financed this whole Islamic terrorist movement.
Right. I'm wondering if at one time they were on our payroll for us to use them to do certain things, like in Afghanistan, fight against the Russian invasion.
That's right.
And then maybe they just got away from us after that. Or is that something that was designed for them to act the way they are right now?
Well, the only way we were going to be able to actually begin to change America and change our foreign policy was for some sort of a cataclysmic and catastrophic event like a Pearl Harbor. That comes from a report put out by a think tank headed by William Kristol. And, of course, we had that event on September 11th. Or,
right.
As, of course, Brzezinski had said, Zbigniew Brzezinski in his book, The Grand Chessboard, published in 1997, the only way we're going to be able to unite the American people behind a new foreign policy to dominate the Middle East is if there is a perceived direct external threat. Well, we have a perceived direct external threat, and it's being used to take away our freedom. But do you have a question for Joyce Riley?
I was just listening off and on. I wasn't that much, don't have a specific question actually. So
okay, if you get my video, it's entitled 9/11 Contrived. It'll answer your questions, okay?
I had one other comment,
okay.
About, you were mentioning the other day about the southern border of the United States being an easy access for people to come through that. I actually have, right now I have a laborer that's working for me doing some remodeling, and he speaks only Spanish, and I was asking him about that because he told me he's been back and forth over the last 6 years three different times. And I guess he was telling me the price is $2,000 to cross using a coyote, and that he has seen, you know, other people, you know, besides Mexicans, like, you know, Japanese people and Asian descent, and he hasn't seen any Arabs, but I was just wondering where you got those facts from.
No, actually, that came from Craig Roberts. Craig Roberts, a retired lieutenant colonel in the military, who has all sorts of connections with the intelligence community. Craig Roberts, if you can get that tape, we did it about a week ago, okay?
Thank you
so much. And well, let's get back to Joyce here, because she has so much fascinating information. So why don't you pick up the story where we left it off, Joyce?
Well, the problem that we've got right now is that we've got Gulf War veterans that have a layered effect that is creating problems within them. And we're talking about depleted uranium, chemicals, biologicals, and the vaccine issue. This has created not only multi-system disorders and multi-system dysfunction to the point of death, but it is now causing problems in their children, those that were born subsequent to the Gulf War. Many of them are failure to thrive. Many of them have massive amounts of deformities. Some of them just minimal amount of deformities, organs in the wrong place, which is a significant deformity, but I mean not a visual deformity. Many of them have visual deformities. The problem is that we're now raising a lot of children, or there are a lot of children that are defective, if you will, and when I mean defective, either in the gene pool or either in the manner in which they have to function, they're not really being taken care of. Because most of the Gulf War veterans now are not being compensated. If they are being compensated, they're being compensated to the tune of about 10% disability, which is the average, and that's $98 per month. That's all they're receiving. So we're looking at, not only are the Gulf War veterans sick, their spouses are sick, their children are sick. Now, the spouses we've known since 1995, Senator Don Riegel admitted that the spouses were sick as a result of a biological weapon, and we believe it to be this mycoplasma. 77% of the spouses, according to Nation magazine, are now sick. 66% of the children have had some type of defect. Now, a lot of people will say, well, they joined the military, hey, that's just what happens, you know, take your lumps where you get it. Well, no, that's not the way it is, because you don't deny people the truth. You don't use them as cannon fodder. You don't experiment upon them. You don't use them as experimental animals for pharmaceutical companies, and that's what has happened. Because the vaccines that were used, not just the anthrax, botulinum, but there were many other vaccines done under the Vaccine Tri-Service Task Force that were experimental. So we've got these poor young men and women who are out of the military now. They have no compensation, no help, and they can't even get insurance because they have a pre-existing condition. So they are basically kicked to the side of the curb like dead animals. Now, this depleted uranium issue is far worse than anyone knows. And I know you've talked to Dr. Doug Roeke on this program. The depleted uranium issue is huge. Then we have the sarin gas issue. Now, I want to focus on this for just a second because it causes the inability to maintain their normal mannerisms. In other words, They can't function like they used to.
Their brain doesn't work. It's toxic to the brain.
That's right. It shorts out. They get angry. And doctor, according to a doctor at Southwestern University, he says that the same area of the brain is affected on the brain spec scan in all these Gulf War veterans. And that is the area that controls the emotions. So they're not able to control their emotions. So what do we have? We have a Tim McVeigh. We have a sniper, Mohammed. We have the young man that killed the two instructors at the Arizona school at Tucson Nursing School. We have a lot of other Gulf War veterans. In fact, we have the first Gulf War veteran that is going to be put to death outside of McVeigh, of course, but he's going to be put to death in March. He is the third person to ever be accused of a federal crime and is scheduled to be executed. We're trying to find out, we're trying to make contact with his family and find out what was involved in that case. Because it occurred on a military base, they're going to put it under that jurisdiction, and nobody's really going to be able to find out very much information on that. But he is scheduled to be executed in March of this year. He's already asked the president for for a stay of execution. So what we're looking at is men and women who agreed to do what they thought they were supposed to do for this country. They were doing the right thing. They have gone over there, come back, and then the government basically removes them from the military. The 101st Airborne, 82nd Airborne, and the Big Red One out of Fort Riley, Kansas, are really the sickest units. The 2nd Armored Division is a very sick unit. And what I mean by that is they were in that area of Kamosia where they detonated those bunkers. Now, we talked to Dan Topolsky, Sergeant Dan Topolsky, and he was the NBC NCO, the Nuclear, Biological, and Chemical Non-Commissioned Officer at Kamosia, where they were going to detonate those 100 bunker complexes. They took videos. They saw that they were made in USA. And I asked Dan Topolsky, I said to him, what happened when you saw that there were chemicals and biologicals inside that bunker complex? And he said, I told the major. The major then called Central Command, General Schwarzkopf, and told them there were chemicals and biologicals inside that inside the bunker complexes. I said, what were you told? He said, the response came back from Central Command, blow it anyway. Now, here we have all these men from a number of units, because it took so many people. There were so many people throughout that area around Kamosia, I can't tell you. I mean, they now believe 100,000 have been exposed to the sarin gas in that area. But when that detonation went up, because we have the video of it, we have the video literally of these men standing in front of the detonated area. As you can see the explosions as they're happening, and these men are standing in front of it, I don't know how many feet away they are, but it's obviously not that far, and they've got shirt sleeves on. There's no chemical masks, I mean no chemical suits, no masks, no protection whatsoever. And many of the people in the 37th Engineer Battalion are now sick. Some of them have died, and some of them have had deformed children. Now, this is a tragedy that you don't hear anything about when SecDef Rumsfeld goes before the American public and acts as though, well, I can't understand why anybody here wouldn't approve of this war. You don't have him talking about the fact they're not receiving medical care, that these guys are dying. You want to talk about a tragedy, you ought to do a day in the life of these troops and what they have to do. To just to exist.
There's a wonderful video out. You can get it down at the Blockbuster. It's called "Thanks of a Grateful Nation." It starts at Ted Danson. It's a fascinating. It's primarily about the toxins rather than the infections associated with Gulf War illness. But get it, watch it. Of course, it was never discussed on public television, certainly on the major mainline media. But have you ever seen that video, of a Grateful Nation?
Oh yes. Let me tell you, that was a brilliant production. Just as we had gotten the Gulf War veterans all ready to storm the castle, I mean, these people were very upset. They realized they weren't going to get any medical care. They realized that they were being kicked to the side of the curb. Then all of a sudden, this HBO special comes out. We had just gotten that. Dave and I had been all through the practically the 50 states holding programs for veterans, getting them organized, and lo and behold, here comes this video. And it put them all to sleep.
Right. In other words, they thought something was going to happen.
Oh, there was a celebration among the Gulf War veterans. Now the media knows. Now the public knows. Now we won't have to fight like this. And they totally backed down. And I told them this was going to happen. I told them not to back down. that they're normal, they're human, they're hurting, and it was a brilliant display. Now, one thing when you see that video, notice very carefully when the girl receives a T-shirt in the mail. She receives her boyfriend's T-shirt, she puts it on, and she gets a rash. Now, they don't say anything about it, but there we're talking biological weapons. They don't say it, but you need to know that that's what's happening.
And I think the other thing is, if you'd like to, we have the Rockefeller Committee report through our ministry. And, of course, this came out over the signature of Senator Jay Rockefeller about 1994. And there, of course, they used the figure of 40% of the wives of the men who went to the Gulf War and came back ill were ill. Senator Riegel used the figure 70%. But you see, the American people don't understand. It's one thing when people go in the military. But they're risking now the lives of their families, their wives, and their children. But, of course, this is not being discussed today as we now are going back to war in that hellhole over there. We have to go, and we have to go very quickly, because by the early part of April, it'll be 120 degrees over there. So we have to go, and we're going very, very soon. Let's go to Barton in Carmel. Hi, Bart. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much. Thank both of you. Joyce, and a special thanks to you. You are the best friend any veteran ever had. You are doing the job that the Administrator of Veterans Affairs should be doing. And I listen to you each night on 5.050.
Well, thank you.
I've spoken to you on the DU issue before. And this evil event, I think of it, I was actually working for the Army during the first Gulf War in a civilian capacity. I think of it as one giant evil event divided into two parts, Gulf War One and Gulf War Two. And Joyce, you are so very precious in many ways, but especially in the sense that you bridge the gap between the genuine patriot community out here and the mainstream media. This is extremely valuable. I pray that you take good care of yourself, because the role you are playing now is so very important, and God love you for it. I'm wondering, Joyce, they're getting ready to cycle this next batch of good, fine young men and women through again the machine one more time, apparently in an identical scenario to the first phase, probably worse. And I'm wondering, you know, dock workers and rail workers, they have a union, and if we are to survive what is coming next. And my personal belief is that God is going to be so ashamed of the way his children are behaving here that something horrendous is going to happen at home. But if we do survive, would it be possible for the veterans of this next horrendous Gulf War II to possibly partner with the veterans of the first Gulf War and form what would amount to be a Gulf War Veterans Union?
Well, we're going to just about out of time. Let's get Joyce to answer that. What can the veterans do? Basically, the Veterans Administration, is not going to do anything for them. So many of the leaders within this movement, I believe, are placed there to neutralize the effectiveness of the veterans. Certainly, we've seen this in the Veterans of Foreign War. You get somebody in there who really wants to speak out for the veterans, and he's out of a job.
You're absolutely right, and I want to thank your caller. Thank you for your service to this country, and thank you for your kind words. You know, but it's my Heavenly Father that I believe put me in this position, and I made a promise that if I was ever able to walk and feel good again, that I would not forget where I came from, and that's why I do what I do. And yes, the idea of banding together Gulf War II and Gulf War I veterans is good. We need to bring Vietnam into this, Grenada into this, Afghanistan, Bosnia into this, because we've got the Kosovo syndrome already also as a result of depleted uranium. But you see, there's a Farah's doctrine that says that you cannot sue the government for any reason at all, period. What we're looking at now is the spouses of these people and the children of these people getting involved in a legal lawsuit, and it's about time. But you're right. The government comes in, though, and divides everybody. They put people out there to start rumors and to create people from contacting someone like me, because they don't want any unity. That's the worst thing they can possibly have, is unity right now. And we need to come to the aid of the Vietnam veterans, because they're just now admitting what problems they had. And if you go to GulfWarVets.com, there's a classified document there. Just put in Agent Orange, and you will see a document that will absolutely make you just, shocked will come over you when you see what the government has known all along and failed to tell anyone.
And they've lied and they've lied and they've lied. And Joyce, I appreciate your getting all that information together. It's right up there. You want to read it on gulfwarvets.com. What's your parting thoughts? We're just about out of time. We can go on for another 2 hours, but we're just getting started. But what are your parting thoughts for our listeners? We haven't even gotten to the fact that we were really going to talk about today, and that is that Joyce has a great deal of information suggesting that it wasn't Saddam Hussein that started those oil fires in Kuwait. It was people from our own government, and she has sworn affidavits from military personnel who were told they were ordered to do it. So why would they do something like that? Sure, it got the price of oil up, didn't it? Joyce, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I just asked Colin Powell, why are we supposed to trust you now when you lied to us then?
Right. And General Schwarzkopf, ask him the same thing. Well, we'll be right back here in just a moment, and we'll be talking to you off the air later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Joyce, and we'll be right back here in just a moment to wrap up this afternoon's program. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City?
What really happened?
The PWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have a four-tape set on the Gulf War illness. You really need to understand the truth that you're not being told. We actually carry the Rockefeller Committee report. It's an official report from the Veterans Administration. Came out over the name of and the signature of Senator Jay Rockefeller, and it goes into the fact that they have used our troops for experimentation for many, many, many years. And, of course, our troops have no recourse. We send them into battle, and we experiment on them like human guinea pigs. You say, that couldn't happen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has happened. Here's a government report that lays it out. Of course, I got when I went to the U.S. printing office, I asked how many they printed. They said, well, we printed 25 of them or 30 for the entire country, besides those we gave to the members of the committee. And so I bought 20 of those. We have them, and we reprinted it ourselves. It's called the Rockefeller Committee Report. It's inexpensive. But there you'll find out what happened to the wives of the men who went overseas to fight for freedom. And then, of course, we have, of course, some other things that we hope that many of you will want to get. Right now, there is a very real possibility of biological warfare. You need to get Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, The Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. There's a four-tape set that goes with that called Life-Saving Secrets, four interviews with Dr. Russell Blaylock. What are you doing to prepare for a biological war? Do you have anything to build up your immunity, the immunity of your family? Well, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and ask for the four-tape set on life-saving secrets. This is information you need to have right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, this is the time when we need to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you in the listening audience who believe there's a problem, who realize you're not getting the truth from the controlled media. How do we know the media is controlled? Why? Because it's almost everybody who owns the major media outlets are all tied into the Council on Foreign Relations. And that is a front group for a secret society that was created by Cecil Rhodes. And you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, where we'll document that for you. I've been to the dusty files at Georgetown University and at Yale University and through the dusty records in the Council on Foreign Relations basement. And I've talked to ambassadors and generals and, yes, even to people who control governments, the president of one of the countries I spent an afternoon with some years ago. And we put this whole incredible story into my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get that book. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. More. But also, we certainly hope that many of you out there will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. Because, of course, 5 hours every day, we reach out across America on the radio, on the Internet, on shortwave. Shortwave 2 hours a day, satellite 3 hours a day. But it's an expensive proposition. On the other hand, we do this because if we lose America, what good do you think your 401k or your IRA or your bank account is going to be? Freedom is lost when good people do nothing, and there really are evil people, because behind everything going on today is a spiritual battle. And the churches aren't telling the American people that. They're, of course, so most of our Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, they worship the ground, their head is buried in, and they think nothing bad's ever going to happen to them. That's what the ostrich thinks before they come with a big knife and chop off his head. You see, things couldn't happen to us bad here in America. And I would say, why not? This country's turned against God. And whenever a country turns against God, God turns against that country. And so if you'd like to join in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure, seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters by calling 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we ask you to tell others about our programs. We suggest you go to our website, which is radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters there, and you can copy them, and you can pass them out. These are things that you can do. You can certainly pull down our radio programs. We have many archive programs, and you can copy those, and you can pass those out. And help us to get other people thinking. You can set up an Institute of the Constitution in your community and teach people about our Christian and godly heritage and how we lost it. And then, of course, you can get my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can show it to people. That video has transformed many, many lives. People who've been part of the other side, and when they begin to realize what it's all about, their life has been changed forever. And you can get the video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. In fact, you can get it as part of the Brotherhood of Darkness special, the book, the video, and an audio tape, all for $29.95. And, of course, we want you to copy the video and the audio tape, and we want you to get other people listening and watching and thinking and understanding about what's really going on in America today. And then, of course, we ask each and every one of you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival in America, because we don't change the hearts of the American people why this country is going to be lost. And as I said earlier, when a nation turns its back on God, God eventually turns his back on that nation. And I believe the people of this country have turned their back on God. And so we ask you then to remember my ministry, Radio Liberty, to pray for our provision and pray for our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you at the same time, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
feel about it?
That's just fine.
Thanks so much, Kyle. Enjoy the program.